Tonight, the 10th city now going up for migrant children detained and separated from their parents. The Trump administration's hardline immigration policy playing out in real life. The big melt going on in Antarctica, scientists surprised by its speed and warning of global consequences. The new study on kids and sleep, how the lack of it can lead to big health problems. They're no longer home alone. Savvy seniors are turning that extra room into cash and making new friends. And celebrating a two-wheeled classic. A look back in time at the bike that kids just had to have. Still turning heads today.
This is NBC Nightly News with Jose Diaz-Balart.
Good evening, I'm Blake McCoy. Jose Diaz-Balart is on assignment. There is growing national outrage tonight over the Trump administration's policy of separating families who cross this country's southern border. Administration officials say they are simply enforcing existing laws meant to discourage illegal immigration. Opponents say the practice is an affront to American values. It's all happening as a Republican bill is working its way through Congress, a bill that would restrict the practice, but also fund the president's controversial border wall. We begin our coverage tonight with NBC's Gadi Schwartz, who is near the border in California.
They're building tent cities near the border, a necessary step as the Trump administration's hardline immigration policy has had its intended effect. Thousands of migrants swept up, detained after both illegal and legal border crossings, many of them children. 2,000 already separated from their parents in the last 6 weeks, housed in a former Walmart or small group homes like this one in San Diego.
If a family has both boys and girls as children, then the siblings are separated. The girls live in a different facility. The boys live here.
It's not just near the border where you could see this story playing out. On a porch in Chicago, some 2,000 miles from the Tijuana border crossing where Maritza Delgado entered the U.S. seeking asylum, her family now awaits a hearing, and every day they wait for this call. Maritza's 18-year-old daughter on the phone, separated from her mother and sisters and detained in California for more than a month.
They haven't told her when she might be able to get out or when she might be able to see her mom again.
The family entered the country with that migrant caravan, legally asking for asylum at a U.S. port of entry. She says gangs tortured and killed her father.
They found him in the field and that he had been decapitated.
A return home, they say, would be certain death. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said this week, fear of gangs is no longer a reason to be granted safe haven here, using Bible verse to justify the administration's new immigration practices.
And I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
And tonight, an impromptu protest outside of this facility here in San Diego with another protest scheduled, an even larger one in the town of Tornillo, Texas, on Father's Day, where a tent city has sprung up faster than residents there expected. And just to put things in perspective, Tornillo is a small town. About 1,500 people live there. And when this tent city is up and running at full capacity, it'll mean that a fifth of the entire town's population will be children separated from their families. Blake?
Gadi Schwartz in California for us. Thanks, Gadi. Those hardline immigration policies are causing gut-wrenching pain for some families, and President Trump lays the blame squarely on Democrats. But his strategy carries some risk for Republicans. Here's White House correspondent Kelly O'Donnell.
Far from the real-world consequences is the red meat of immigration politics. Today, President Trump tweeted, Democrats can fix their forced family breakup at the border by working with Republicans on new legislation for a change. This White House video links an alleged gang murder to rules affecting child immigrants.
The gang member reportedly entered our country through glaring loopholes for unaccompanied alien minors.
One day after he distanced himself from his own administration's zero tolerance policy that triggered the separations.
I hate it. I hate to see separation of parents and children.
The president's strategy is to blame Democrats for blocking passage of immigration reforms and border security. But outcry over the treatment of immigrant children could blow back on Republicans. Oklahoma Senator James Lankford posted video where he tells a constituent he has a message for the White House.
Is keep families together as much as we can possibly keep families together.
For Republican candidates, immigration is an issue that gets conservative voters to turn out.
Build that wall. Build that damn wall!
Congressman Dan Donovan has President Trump's endorsement in this month's Staten Island, New York primary. Today, he also had his lawyer's campaign help.
You know I represent President Trump.
Issues like immigration could determine control of Congress. The president's allies, like Rudy Giuliani, plainly argue the president's fate is on the line.
Let's stop the possibility of a ridiculous impeachment, and let's make sure that I don't have to see Nancy Pelosi on television anymore. Thank you.
President Trump plans to visit House Republicans Tuesday to talk about strategy for two immigration bills. The more conservative hardline approach is not likely to pass, leaving open the door for a moderate compromise, which would address the separation of families, would grant legal status to young immigrants known as Dreamers, and beef up border security. It's possible those votes could happen late next week. Blake?
All right, Kelly O'Donnell at the White House, thank you. An update tonight on that deadly courthouse shooting in Kansas City. A second deputy died from her wounds today. Police say the officers were shot by an inmate they were transporting from jail to a court hearing. Both deputies leave behind children. Now to a new climate study out this week that is shocking even scientists who study global warming. The key finding involves a major ice melt in Antarctica that's happening much faster than first thought. Our chief environmental affairs correspondent, Ann Thompson, has the details.
Ominous developments at the bottom of the Earth.
Look at that.
The melting of the massive Antarctic ice sheet speeding up, according to a new study, tripling in the past decade, causing sea levels to rise faster today than any time in the past 25 years. The culprit, climate change. Greenhouse gases heating up the water and air when we burn coal, oil, and gas.
A lot of these glaciers have been speeding up in recent times in response to a warmer ocean.
Dr. Eric Rigneault is one of the authors of the study published in this week's Nature. Using satellite surveys, scientists from more than 40 international groups found Antarctica shed 3 trillion tons of ice between 1992 and 2017, adding 3/10 of an inch to sea level rise. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but if the trend continues, Rigneault says we could see 3 feet of sea level rise by the end of the century, reshaping America's coast.
It will be a sort of flooding that's not going to recede, flooding of streets and neighborhoods that's not going to go away once the water evaporates.
Today, most of the ice loss comes from West Antarctica, where 2 glaciers are in rapid retreat and an ice shelf collapse in the Antarctic Peninsula. Scientists say we can slow down the melting if we move to cleaner energy sources to keep the ice and seas where they belong. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Now to that brutal civil war in Yemen, where Saudi-backed forces claim they have retaken the airport outside a key port city long held by militants. That city is the main gateway for aid shipments into the country, and the fear is that a long battle could put millions of people at greater risk of starvation. NBC's Matt Bradley has the latest.
Tonight, the fate of Yemen's worsening humanitarian crisis hangs on the fight for Hodeidah. Yemeni government troops are pushing into the port city this weekend. Today, they claim to seize the city's airport, but left some 500,000 civilians stuck in their homes, unable to flee what could become Yemen's biggest battle. 4 days of fighting has already killed more than 100 people, according to AFP. Ali Omar was injured in an airstrike. We spent 3 days without being able to leave, said his father. Whatever happens in Hodeidah will send shockwaves throughout a country already grappling with 3 years of civil war, famine, and the worst cholera epidemic in history. That's because 70% of Yemen's food and fuel comes through Hodeidah's port, a modest-sized city crushed under a region-wide power struggle. The Shiite Muslim Houthis, supported by Iran, are fighting Yemen's military, backed by Sunni Muslim powers Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, and getting support from the U.S. with fuel, intelligence, and some special operations. An American role in what many are calling the world's worst humanitarian horror. Matt Bradley, NBC News.
In Moscow, disturbing video from near Red Square today. A taxi rammed into a sidewalk crowded with World Cup visitors. The driver jumped out of the car and tried to flee the scene, but has since been detained. 8 people were injured, including 2 people from Mexico. Here at home, it is a universal problem for parents, getting kids to go to bed on time, especially teens who may protest putting away electronics. But a new study shows enforcing bedtime rules may be critical for your child's health. Katie Beck explains why.
Time to wake up, baby girl.
Waking up the kids is a struggle most mornings.
Time to wake up.
Mother of three, Elizabeth Turley, says it's especially tough for her 15-year-old Alyssa. On average, she gets just 5 hours of sleep a night.
Would you say that among your friends, that's pretty common, 5-6 hours?
Yes, maybe even less.
Because most of them are doing this.
But a new study says sleep-deprived adolescents and teens shouldn't shrug off their sluggish symptoms. Now linking a lack of sleep to higher odds for heart disease, high blood pressure, and obesity.
Sleep is just as important as nutrition and physical activity in predicting our cardiovascular health.
This study in the journal Pediatrics monitored the kids' sleep patterns through an ActiWatch, tracking the amount of sleep and the quality of the rest. 9 hours of sleep is the minimum recommended for kids 11 to 13 years old, 8 hours for those 14 to 17. Most in the study weren't getting what they should.
I'm so tired from not getting enough sleep.
Doctors tell parents to improve their children's sleep, set a consistent bedtime, cut the caffeine before bed, and no screens in the bedroom. Turley says she already enforces many of these rules, but after this study, she has reason to set more.
You want them to live a longer life.
And sleep is a key to that. Katie Beck, NBC News, Riverside, California.
Now to a growing trend among senior citizens. Enterprising elders have found a way to turn their homes into extra income, making money and new friends. Business correspondent Jolene Kent has the details.
Empty nester Carolyn Winter isn't your typical entrepreneur. After retiring from her fashion industry job, she was looking for a new way to make ends meet.
Why did you decide to start hosting people with Airbnb?
Things were not working out financially, and it was a matter of choosing whether I wanted to stay in my home or leave.
Carolyn is part of a major economic boom for the 60-plus set. Airbnb says that senior citizens are the fastest-growing and highest-rated host demographic, with over 200,000 seniors actively welcoming guests, taking advantage of the burgeoning silver economy. Since listing her two spare bedrooms, she's had more than 300 guests over 2 years, bringing in about $28,000.
And how have the guests been?
The guests have been great. I've had people from every nationality, every race, every continent.
Woo! Including a professional flame dancer from Hawaii who performed for her family. Carolyn is proud of her 5-star rating.
I treat the guests how I would want to be treated.
And the extra income has allowed her to open more properties to host. But experts say the broader trend is also linked with seniors' desire to stay active in retirement.
The main driver we find are behavioral changes that relate to the desire for independence, the desire for activity.
Carolyn carefully vets guests before they come into her home, but aging specialists suggest added security with in-home cameras and alarm systems.
I didn't think I would enjoy it so much. It's been very interesting meeting so many interesting people.
Making her empty nest full again. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Piermont, New York.
Still ahead, a school in Philadelphia that is changing the face of teaching to boost student performance and morale. Also, the new volcanic eruption so explosive, it blocked out the sun. Back now with what many educators say is a crisis in our public schools, the lack of diversity among teaching staffs, especially African-American men. This comes despite studies that show minority students perform better when they have teachers who look like them. NBC's Ron Allen has the story of a school in Philadelphia working hard to change the face of teaching.
In a troubled Philadelphia neighborhood,
and I want you to review it.
Mr. Douglas teaches 7th grade at Bethune Elementary School. So does Mr. Graham.
Eyes on me.
That's Mr. Boyd and his fourth graders.
We have a future!
In fact, Bethune has 13 African-American male educators, about 30% of the staff. Across the country, just 2% of teachers are black men. It's the result of a conscious effort to recruit black men to a school where 80% of the students are African-American.
I have a lot of children where they have mom at home, but they don't have dad.
It gives them the hope, and it helps them to understand that there is opportunity for children that look like them.
You're great.
I'm great.
Herman Douglas greets each student with a positive message to counter the negativity in the streets on the way to school. Douglas also grew up in a neighborhood plagued by drugs and violence and sees teaching as a mission to save as many students as possible.
I love my kids. They are kings and queens, and I will do everything possible to make sure that they are successful in my classroom because education is the great equalizer.
Dayton Boyd believes sharing his experience growing up in a single-parent home, his mother struggling, helps him and his students connect.
Oftentimes, some of them may slip and say, "Hey, Dad."
How does that make you feel when they call you Dad?
It inspires me to continue to work. It inspires me to continue to come to school every day.
A recent study suggests that having just one black teacher in grade school significantly increases the chances a black boy will graduate high school and consider college. At Bethune, high expectations. Just ask some of Mr. Douglas's students.
He don't try to sugarcoat anything. Like, he'll give it to us how it is.
He motivates us and he pushes us to our limits.
A coalition of African-American educators called the Fellowship hopes to recruit 1,000 more black male teachers by 2020, about double the number in Philadelphia classrooms now, a goal the city supports.
It's awfully ambitious, but it's also a vision for how we want to recruit.
I am respectful. I am responsible.
A vision, like Bethune's, of what educators believe gives their students the best chance for success. Ron Allen, NBC News, Philadelphia.
We are back in a moment with the huge fire that gutted one of the world's architectural gems. In southern Japan today, a volcano violently erupted for the second time in 3 months, shooting ash, look at that, 15,000 feet into the air. Residents say the smoke was so thick it blocked out the sun. Meanwhile, on Hawaii's Big Island, dramatic new video of lava flows. The latest Kilauea eruption has been active for more than 6 weeks. In Scotland, an architectural treasure is now just a shell after a huge fire last night. The Glasgow School of Art was first completed in 1909 and was scheduled to reopen next year after a multi-million dollar restoration following another fire 4 years ago. Today, Scotland's first minister called the blaze heartbreaking. No word yet on a cause. When we come back, a ride back in time to a classic bike show. Maybe you'll spot the one you used to ride. Finally tonight, let's go for a ride to a festival today in Illinois, showcasing the bike that just about every kid dreamed of having a half century ago. Maybe you were one of them. Kevin Tibbles tonight on a bicycle built for memories.
Today, the little Illinois town of Sycamore pedaled back 50 years to a time when a colorful American-made two-wheeler ruled the roads.
So you are a big kid.
I am a big kid. I love my bike.
In 1968, the Schwinn Bicycle Company introduced the Stingray Crate Series, part bike, part dragster.
So it's kind of the Cadillac of the Schwinn Stingrays.
How many bikes you got up here?
There's over 200 bikes.
For bike shop owner and collector Rod Griffiths, the crate, manufactured from 1968 to 73, was a work of art. Banana seat, high handlebars, and five-speed stick shift. About $89 back in the day, collectors pay upwards of $4,000 today.
This is a 73 orange crate that I'm putting together for a customer.
A labor of love for mechanic Matt Mutchler.
You either had one of these bikes or you wanted one of these bikes, and I was the kid that wanted one.
Once upon a time in America for baby boomers, if you had a Schwinn like this orange crate model, you were cool with the wind blowing in your hair. Back when you had hair. And back before cell phones and social media, a Schwinn for a kid meant
freedom, you know.
Growing up
and having the ability to get around without having your mom take you somewhere.
German-born Ignaz Schwinn started building bikes in Chicago in the late 1800s.
The pride and joy of a girl.
By the 1990s, the company had folded under the weight of cheaper imports. Today, they're made in China. But at this year's Crate Fest, dads reminisced with their own kids.
It's nice to know your old man was a kid once, though, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what he wrote.
It's the memory of summer, soda pop, and a Schwinn that keeps them coming back. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, Sycamore, Illinois.
A reminder of the kid in all of us. That is NBC Nightly News for this Saturday. Join us tomorrow night for an eye-opening story about a public charter school and how some are keeping out the minority students they were designed to serve. I'm Blake McCoy for all of us here at NBC News. Have a great night.